America's only hope. As we are celebrating our independence as a nation tomorrow, and I say again, I do love America. I'm not being mean or ugly, but I am being serious, being honest from my heart, and yes, being patriotic. If you don't love this country, leave this country. There's a lot of other countries probably would suit your liking. If you don't like this nation we have, I'm glad God raised up America. I'm glad I was raised where I heard the name of Christ being the Savior of me. I'm glad I was raised where the Bible was taught and believed. And so I'm glad for our nation. There's three things I want to look at this morning, and I'll be done. First of all, I want to look at the founding of our nation. For ladies and gentlemen, our nation was founded upon the precepts and the principles of God's holy word. We're in a day where they're rewriting our history. They don't want nobody to know that our forefathers knew God, loved God, worshiped God, wanted a country where you could worship freely. Hey, a religious liberty is one of the main reasons America is here today. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I'm not interested in a history lesson. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of something. You listen to this. Our former president, Woodrow Wilson, said this: a nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it's trying to do. We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about. Hey, we've got children that know nothing about our true Christian heritage in America. Amen. They don't want them to know about the God of heaven. You listening to me? Now, it's a sad day when a nation that's founded on the Bible won't teach about the pilgrims and our forefathers and their desire to worship God, but they'll include in secular education now have the doctrine of Islam. Amen. Hey, either God's welcome or he's not. And I'm going to tell you, if God's not welcome, then friend, we're in a mess. That's right. Here, let me say this. We find the pilgrims of 1620. Matter of fact, as they left, headed here to this new world, here's a very direct quote. It's to advance the enlargement of Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. They didn't come to get rich. They came to worship God freely. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm saying today our nation, our forefathers, not all of them were saved. I know that. Not all of them believed in God. I know that. But the vast majority of them did. Amen. Hey, somebody said, preacher, you ought not be political. Well, you've never heard of the Black Regiment, then, have you? Who is that preacher? I know you don't know about them. The Black Regiment were the preachers during the War of Independence. For preachers in that day wore black robes, and they were called the Black Regiment because the men fought in the wheat, and the men of God thundered liberty and justice for all on Sunday morning. Amen. Hey, I'm doing what my forefathers did. Amen. Hey, somebody said, preacher, I don't believe the Bible was the founding document. Oh, yes, it was. Let me read you another quote. The moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions and laws. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. You want to know who said that? Mr. Noah Webster, who gave you the American Dictionary. Amen. I'm going to throw this out too. The modern Webster Dictionary and other dictionaries, they've changed a lot of things. If you could get a copy of the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary, it'll be a great blessing to you. In a modern dictionary, the word sin barely has a little saying about sin. Well, in the 1828 Webster, you could preach a whole sermon about what he's got wrote over a paragraph on what sin is. Amen. Our forefathers believed God. They believed this Bible was the guide, the rule, how to help have a godly society and a good people. Oh, preacher, were they really that Christian? Well, let's read to you the first prayer that was prayed at Congress the first time. Would you like to hear what that preacher, that man said as he prayed? Listen to this man's prayer. Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of kings and Lord of lords, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers on earth and reignest with supreme power and uncontrolled over all the kingdoms, empires, and governments. Look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on these our American states. We have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent only on thee. Give them wisdom and counsel, valor in the field. Defeat the malicious designs of our cruel adversaries. Constrain them to drop the weapons of war from their unnerved bands in the day of battle. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the councils of this honorable assembly. Enable them to settle things on the best and surest foundation. What about that? That the scene of blood may be speedily closed, that order, harmony, peace may be effectually restored, and truth and justice, religion and piety prevail and flourish among the people. Now listen how this man closed his prayer. All this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. Hey, they prayed that at Congress, the first session we ever had in this country. Why, they don't want you to pray in Jesus' name now. But our forefathers knew it is by the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way that prayers are answered. Oh, friend, let me read you something else. Somebody said, well, preacher, the Supreme Court, they've got a Bible prayer out of school. And all, well, let me read you something here. Our laws and our institutions, and I'm quoting, must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. Did you hear that? This is a religious people. This is historically true. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there is a single voice making this affirmation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. These and many other matters which might be noticed at a volume of unofficial decoration to the mass of organic utterances, that this is a Christian nation. You want to know who said that? The Supreme Court of 1892 was their decision about our own country. I'm going to say something. Whether Washington likes it or not, whether the God haters and God deniers hate it, hey, I'm going to tell you, this nation is here because some people believe that Bible and they practice that Bible. Amen. There was a time in our history when a local church would have revival and they'd take the school and let them visit the church in the morning. That's right. You talk about lawsuits in our day. They'd get upset quick, wouldn't they? Hey, our nation was a Christian nation in the beginning. So I see the founding of our nation. Number two, I look at the foolishness of our nation just a moment. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Hey, we're in the mess we're in because of the foolishness of sinful men. Amen. Hey, hear me this morning. This nation thinks she's getting by with everything. Our Supreme Court can make all the rulings they want to, contrary to the word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible still declares in the book of Philippians, one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those individuals on the Supreme Court will bow before the judge of all the universe one day and declare he is Lord. Amen. Oh, friend, our nation has gone away from God. You say, preacher, you preaching too much about the country. No, I'm not. We're in trouble with a thrice holy God. Amen. Our aborting of babies, murdering babies in the womb. And I did say murder. Somebody said, preacher, I'm pro-choice. The choice is made before an act is committed. Amen. I'm not being vulgar. I'm telling you the way it is. Hey, the choice is before that instant in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we are aborting babies, souls for whom Jesus died. Hey, you talk about workforces. They've killed a workforce. Amen. Hey, the attack on the family. God has never been honored or pleased with any kind of sexual sin. It is all an abomination before his eyes. Amen. Hey, I want to say something. And listen to me real well. Our nation is going down the very same path that the nation of Israel went down in the Old Testament. That's right. We're doing the very exact same things today. Amen. Now, I mentioned Sodom, and you know that one sin that's guilty. But here's what the Bible said about Sodom. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 and 50, oh, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. You see, not only sexual sins, but pride and not caring for others and being haughty and many other sins Israel was guilty of. Hey, and so is America today. Amen. Hey, I know you would rather come be exhorted. And in its right place, I will do that. But I want to tell you something. How can we sit by and just want to hear sweet things all the time when we know we're not where we ought to be as a country with God? Amen. We have strayed from what's right. If our forefathers were able, they'd roll over in their graves. Amen. They gave their life for us to have freedom. We're in a day, now I want to tell you something. Our freedom of speech is still intact. Our freedom of religion is still intact. But there's a crowd wishes we didn't have it. Amen. They want free speech, but just for them and nobody else. Amen. Now, you hear me this morning. Same-sex marriage is still wrong. Aborting babies still wrong. Amen. Hey, living this old wicked life is still wrong. It is all still sin. Amen. We have sugar-coated it, whitewashed it, act like it's nothing a big deal. But ladies and gentlemen, God said that righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Oh, friend, listen today. We are foolishly running from God today. We're not escaping the judgment of God. God judged his chosen people, Israel. He did. He's judged other Gentile nations according to the word of God. And if America does not get right, we'll get judged. I see the foolish. Number three, I'll look at the future of our nation just a moment. For the Bible tells us in Psalm 9 and verse 17, Psalm 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's going to happen. Amen. People don't want to preach on hell, but there is a hell. Lost folk that don't get saved go to hell. But nations will get turned into hell for forgetting God too. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you something. Listen to me just a minute. The future of our nations, we got one of two things. One, just judgment. Judgment. God will judge this country. I believe we're under at least some judgment now. What do you mean by that? God's letting us do what we want to do. You hear me? I'm going to tell you, self-destructing is the mode we're in America. Judgment comes. The Bible tells us, it was in our Sunday school lesson, adult too, there in 2 Chronicles 36, friend, Israel crossed a point. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 and 16, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. I believe that's where we almost are in America. We're just about, I'm going to tell you how close I think we really are. I believe we raised our foot to step over. I believe the motion is already going forward. We just ain't totally went over it yet. That's right. Have you ever went to step and somebody grabbed you because you was about to step on a snake or step on something that would have harmed you or hurt, and they caught you just in time? That's why God calls men to preach. I may not be popular in our day, but I'm trying my best, as he told the Old Testament prophets, to cry loud and spare not and show my people their sin. That's what God's raised me up for the last days, is to preach to a country, to a people that have gone away from God. Amen. Hey, friend, we are just about to cross a line of judgment where there'll be no return. That's right. Judgment's going to come. If America doesn't repent, judgment is going to fall on this nation. Oh, I fear for my children. Amen. I fear for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. That's right. Friend, preacher, what's the hope of America? What can change the future for America? Nothing other than revival. Revival is the only hope that America has. Now, I want to remind us here at the church something this morning. I'm preaching a lot about national things. I'm going to bring her down where we're at just a minute. The New Testament tells me that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. Hey, do you not notice what's going on now? Hey, I done told you we're about to cross that line. You not noticing all that's getting thrown at the church? You hear me? There's firing at the church more and more and more today. Judgment must begin at the house of God. I want to tell you something. Washington's not the problem. It is just the symptom of the problem. Amen. Columbia is not the problem. It is just a symptom of the problem. Preacher, what's the problem? Where's that? You're sitting in it. You're sitting in it. As the church goes, so goes the nation. And I'm going to go with it, say more like this too. The reason the church is where she's at is our homes have fell apart. The church is only as strong as the family unit. That's right. People are loving sin and they're chasing sin instead of looking to God and enjoying the blessings of God. Amen. Hey, revival is the answer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 still in this Bible. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. you want America to turn around, then the church must have revival. Amen. And by the way, God is doing it. There are pockets across this country where God is doing a work of revival in the hearts of people. Amen. I'm about sick and tired of church folk that want to downplay the move of God. You reckon it's real? You reckon that? I want to tell you something, friend. God ain't in your box and he ain't in my box. And God can do what he wants and where he wants and whenever he wants. Amen. Hey, not only with Burlington that we've been mentioning to you, going into their ninth week, 4,000 people under the tent Friday night. Now over 500 been saved. Preacher, how many got saved? All them that got saved. Amen. They're as saved as you are if they got saved. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I'm not questioning nobody because I'm not judge. That's right. Friend, not only there, but Northwood Baptist in Yakinville in their second week of revival. A church in Mississippi, multiple weeks. West Virginia, a church in multiple week meeting. What's going on? God is trying his best to wake up the church, and it's up to us what we're going to do. God has never forced himself in a church. Revelation chapter 3, the church of the Laodiceans, he is on the outside knocking. He wasn't kicking the door down. He had been ushered out. Ushered out what he bought. Ushered out what belongs to him. Instead of kicking the door down, he's just knocking in love and mercy, saying, if any man open the door. You see, revival begins with an individual. It'll never be church-wide, county-wide, until it starts in the heart of the believer, Brother Tim. It has to start in the heart of a child of God. Revival, friend, is not something the world will have first. It goes through the church. Amen. We must understand it's our only hope. If you want your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren to enjoy the freedom you got, we better have revival. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't all just about week-long meetings, okay? I'm aware of that, but I ain't against that either. Amen. One of the greatest revivals I've ever been in as a teenage boy broke out on a Sunday night in my home church after a series of messages being preached on Reckon It'll Ever Rain Again. And our local church went to a spirit revival for 2 years. Folk getting saved, people coming to church faithfully. That's right. I want to tell you something. I want to talk about being interested in God doing something, God reviving the church, and you won't come to the church. Amen. If you ain't, hey, if church means no more to you than that, revival don't mean no more than that to you. Amen. Now I'm going to say this to those that are hungry and thirsty. Don't you let that other crowd keep you from having revival yourself. Amen. You set your face and heart like a flint toward God and beg God to revive your heart, help you to get totally right with him and walk with him. Hey, don't let anyone or anything stand in the way. Amen. Hey, revival's our hope. That's it. There is a, Isaiah chapter 1 describes the state of Israel like a putrefying, soaring wound. And he said in verse 9, but it was because of a remnant. Just a small group of believers. That's why they weren't like Sodom and like Gomorrah. Why were they referring to that? Wiped out, never to be known of or heard of again as far as being a city. I want to tell you something this morning, church. Our hope is in the God of heaven. That's right. Not in Allah, not in Buddha, but in Jehovah God himself. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. And you young preachers, you better listen to me. We're about to face some fire, boys. They struck down a law in Mississippi this week on the same mess of this same-sex marriage that is going to ultimately affect the church. You hear me? God's about to have a separating of the tares and the wheat in the church. You better believe that's right. Because when the heat gets on, we're going to find out who's real and who ain't. You better have already made up your mind and purpose in your heart. Whatever comes or goes, I'm serving the Lord. It's what you better do now. Amen? Because I'm telling you, we could wind up in jail. With all honesty, for preaching just the Bible, for long to get us in jail. It's coming. Whoever thought we'd see what we've got already? Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This marriage thing, I'm not wild about doing weddings anyhow. Most preachers don't. We do it just out of kindness of our heart to our people. That's all. It ain't a biblical man. I do want you to know that. But I'm going to tell you something. They may take that right away and you have to go somewhere else to get married because they could well take that away from us. But I want to tell you this, I'm more concerned over people that when it really gets down over the Word of God, what you going to do? Because this Bible's the Word of God. It is real. It's the rule book. I can't change it. I can't water it down. Not be God's man. Not be God's man. Hey, I love you. I do, church. God put you in my heart. I preach the way I do because I love you. You don't really love somebody if you won't tell them the truth. If you let them just go and go and go, are you listening to me? Oh, friend, hey, truth's sometimes tough. I know that. Hey, it's tough when it comes my way, just as sure as it comes your way. But, friend, the truth will make us free. Amen. Hey, as a nation today, we need God to revive the church more now than we've ever needed before. I could read you some things, and I'll just mention it without making direct quotes. But in a book I have in my office, they were talking about revivals of days gone by and the Great Awakening. And as I read in that book, they began to describe their day. We're talking 1700s, 1800s. Began to describe their day. Do you realize, I can tell you this, you can look at it yourself. If you read their description of their day, they're describing now too. They're describing right now. But guess what? They had revival in their day and it was wicked. We'd have revival in this day, though it's wicked. Amen. It's up to us. Here's what I'm getting at with this message. I don't know if I'll preach another message about our nation the rest of the year. I have no idea. I'm just preaching what God puts on my heart. This is my assignment this morning. Have no idea what I'm preaching tonight. I don't have one iota. Don't have one clue, really. I'm just going to try to find the mind of God. But I want to say this. Between now and the election and from here till Jesus comes, church, we better be praying for this country. Daily. Asking God in wrath, remember mercy. Oh God, revive me, revive us, and revive thy word. That needs to be our heart desire. Preacher boys, I'm telling you something. You better get this in your heart. It better be real in you because you were about to face some things that ain't going to be easy. And church, it'll be no different for you. May the Lord help us in our country. Other countries have fallen because they turned their back. We were raised up for religious freedom, and I believe for taking the gospel around the world as well. America sent out more missionaries than any country down through the years. In our short history of being a nation, we've sent a lot of preachers around the world with the gospel. Oh, we need to keep doing it till Jesus comes. May the Lord help us today. Father, thank you for freedom to preach. Thank you for the attention of the people. And Lord, I ask you now, take these simple thoughts, use them for thy honor and thy glory. Father, I've tried to mind you today, tried to preach exactly what you laid on my heart. And Lord, nothing more, nothing less. And oh, Lord, help us in these days to stand true. Lord, as you seek for someone to stand the gap, make up the hedge, Lord, I want to be that man. I want to be one of those that'll stand for your honor and your glory on the sake of our nation. Lord, we thank you again. Save that soul nearest hell that's here today in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Trying my best to preach to you what the Lord told me to today. I wonder today, as there's one that's come in our midst, say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm lost without God. Pray for me today, preacher. Anybody in that shape, by lifting a hand, I see that young hand. Preacher, I'm lost. I don't know Christ as Savior. I'm going to hell. Pray for me. Somebody said, preacher, what does a man have to do to go to hell? Reject Jesus Christ. Don't come to him for salvation, and you will go to hell. That's what it takes to go to hell. To go to heaven, you get born again, you get saved. Those of you who are saved this morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you burdened about your nation? Are you concerned the direction we're heading? I wonder, by lifting your hand, say, preacher, I'm going to bind with you in the days ahead, praying for our country, for God to help us and send revival. Hands are going up all over the place. Preacher, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray with you daily. Let's stand this morning while we sing a song of invitation. Folk are in the altar. Will you come? It'd be a good time to gather and say, Lord, help me. Help me to do what's right. Help me, Lord, to pray and to serve you. Oh, God, we need revival. Let it begin in my heart while we sing.